Okay, so welcome to my music class. I wasn't quite expecting it to be so full in here, but welcome. Hopefully we can learn a few things together. And I did ask some of my music students from last year to come to help me teach you a few things that we do in music class usually. I think it's mostly my second and third graders from last year. One first grader, I guess, so from grades 1 to 3. So after I teach a little bit of a class, then I'm going to have a little bit of time where I'm going to maybe try to give you a few more tips, things that I use in my class. And then for the last few minutes of the class, if you have any questions or any helpful tips for me, I welcome that as well. I did teach school for 3 years here at this school, and after I quit my now sister-in-law was taking over my classroom, and she asked me to come back as the music teacher. So I've done that for the last, I think it's 6 years. So, and I've found some very large holes in my system, so I've tried to change things every year to make it better for the students and easier for myself. So hopefully you can learn a few things. So at the beginning of the year, I often talk to my students about why we sing. You know, why do we have to learn about music? Some people really do not like music. They would rather go learn about history, and they really hate music class. And that's okay. But we do sing to glorify God, ultimately. And the more we learn about music, the better we can, in the end, glorify Him. And everyone has a gift. And like I said, for some people it's music, and for some people it's not. For some people it might be drawing or cooking or hunting or something. But God does tell us that everything that we do, we need to do with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And everything that we do needs to be to the glory of God. So even if it's not their first love, their first gift, they still need to try to put themselves into it. I actually tell my students that I grade them on how well they help me in class, not how perfectly they do music, because it's more about if they are trying to help me out. So singing in music class is a privilege. I am kind of spoiled in the way that I only teach music class, so I come in and I have a clear separate room from their regular room. So when you are the teacher and you are trying to teach music as well, it is very easy to kind of shove music off to the side, because it's not math and it's not English and it's not history, and you don't have to do it. So that's one thing. I feel very fortunate that I get to come in and I get to have fun with them. I get to teach them about music, and then I get to actually leave again, turn them back over to their teachers. But music is important. So often, if they don't want to listen in class, if they don't want to help me out, I usually have a table up there. They can either go sit at the table with their heads down, or if they absolutely will not obey me, I send them back to their teacher. But, you know, if you're the teacher and you're teaching music and you're teaching math, it's a little hard to, you know, send them back to their room when you're in your room. So another thing is that CLE books are very common in our Christian day schools for music. Everyone kind of has their own curriculums that they use. A lot of schools, I think, use CLE. And they have a lot of good things in them. They really do. But part of the problem that I ran into when I was teaching school was that it was all about head knowledge, and it was nothing about actually hands-on learning things. And my students got very, very frustrated with it. Excuse my voice. I'm not sure what's wrong with it. It's been doing this the last couple days. What was I saying? So it's all about head knowledge, and it's nothing about actually singing. Even though my students love to sing, they actually hated music class. And I was like, how can I change this for them? Because music is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be, And it wasn't. It was not the class that I was like, oh, yay, we're having music class today. So when when they had asked me to go ahead and be the music teacher, I had gone to the Shenandoah Christian Music Camp in Virginia. I went back again with that specifically in mind. And I had taken Wendy Good's classes, and she uses the Kodai method of teaching music, which actually goes and teaches you more. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, actually, and they learn things that they don't actually know that they're learning until they're older. So I, especially for the younger ones, I decided to go with, Fern Ebersole has this With Glad Voices book, and it is from the Kodai method. If any of you want to look at it, it's rather tattered because I've used it quite hard the last few years, but you're welcome to look at it after class. So I decided to go with that method for the younger ones. By about second or third grade, maybe fourth, I usually switch them. I usually have really short classes, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 at the longest. And so you can't get through just tons of that book at a time. So I usually don't end up finishing up that book until second grade, probably. And then I try to switch them into CLE books. So, and it actually is fairly simple for them to switch into CLE books in second or third grade, because first grade is basically, they're just teaching them the shapes of the notes, the kinds of notes, and they repeat that again in the second book. So it's very easy for them to switch. And like I said, I found the holes in my system. I was having fun with them and not actually making sure that they were ready for sixth grade CLE books there for a couple years, so we tried to fix that now. So you do kind of have to be careful when you use one curriculum and switch into another one. Another reason that I like this, the Kodai method, is that in a lot of our lovely Mennonite churches, and I do love my church, we do not have instruments, and so everything is shape notes. At least for me it was. Growing up, that is the only thing that I learned was shape notes. If you ever do much singing or anything like, yeah, it really hampers you. At least it did for me. If you're ever thrown round notes, then you're like, what do I do with these? I honestly went on a singing tour and I went through and changed all my notes to shapes because I could not read round notes. And so that's one thing that I like about this method is it actually teaches them everything with round notes first before it teaches them the shapes. So that's one thing that I do really like about this method. I also remember when I was their age or younger, those little We Sing books, I would take them to my mom, they're round notes, right? And I would say, hey, can you sing me this song? And she would. And I would be like, did you know that song? No, she didn't. And I was just like, how do you do that? I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I was like, someday I want to be able to do that. And I don't really feel like I'm totally at that point, but it's getting there slowly. So, okay. So, and I love music. I wanted to pass that love of singing on to my music students. And I was like, you know, even if we don't learn tons and tons of music every year, if at least they can learn to love to sing, the learning will come easier later on. And I do feel like they learn things, but we try to make it fun. So I am going to go ahead and have them help me with a few things. I'm going to kind of teach a class somewhat, a few things. We're going to kind of jump around in this book, so. Okay, can you see me from where I'm at? Okay, maybe do you want to stand up so they can see you too? Careful with your head. Okay, so these children do know this song, but we're going to pretend they don't. This is from the With Glad Voices book, and it has little fun cards, butterflies, spiders. It goes with the song. Okay, so you guys do know this song, but I'm going to pretend that it's the first time you're learning it, okay? So the way we're going to do this is I'm going to sing it to you first, okay? One time, and then I want you to help me, okay? All right, so we have snail in the meadow, fish in the pond, butterfly and spider, none make a sound. Okay, so first of all, we're going to come up with motions for them. What motion shall we use for the snail? Remember what we use for the snail? Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's easier to do it on the table, isn't it? And what about the fish? What can we do for the fish? Can you show me? Okay, yeah, soup. Okay, fish. Okay. And what about the butterfly? What did we do for the butterfly? Yeah, that's good. And the spider. All right. So help me sing. And let's do the motions for it. Okay? Ready? Snail in the meadow, fish in the pond, butterfly and spider, none make a sound. Good job. Okay. Now, we are going to, let's go ahead and tap, okay? Are you ready? And I tell them that when they're doing this tapping, it's kind of like when they are, when the song leader is up front, waving his hand around, he's beating time. And we're learning to beat time, but we're just tapping on our legs for now. We learn how to beat time later. Okay, but that is actually what it is teaching them, is to feel the beat in the song so it's easier to lead songs later. All right, you ready? Snail in the meadow, fish in the pond, butterfly and spider. Good. Okay. All right. I also am not actually going to make them do this in front of 60 people or however many people are here, but I use finger puppets a lot. We have names for them. This is Porky the Pig. We have Carrie the Cat, Freddy the Fox, and is it Henry or Harry? Henry, I think. It's Henry the Horse. And whenever they have to sing solos, because this book actually has the children doing a lot of, like, you sing and they repeat after you, I use these a lot because it kind of gets their minds off of themselves because they're kind of thinking about their cat on their finger. So that is actually the next thing to do in my book, but I'm actually not going to make them do that for you. Okay. All right, let's sing Bounce High for them, okay? Let's tap. This is actually later on in the book, once they've learned more about, there are hand motions for all the notes in this song. Do is on your knees, re is about midway into your thigh, mi is up here, fa they actually don't learn about in the first grade book, but that fa is here, so is on your shoulders, la is on your ears, ti is up here, and do is up here. And so they use that, I use that a lot for when we sing the notes. Okay? So let's tap though.
Bounce high, bounce low, bounce the bar to Shiloh.
Okay? Let's sing it with the notes. Can we do that? Let's do just the words first. No, let's not. Let's do the
sorry. So la, so mi, so so la la so mi.
Good. All right, and even if you don't use that book, it's actually very helpful for the children because it is all in order of low and high, and so it kind of helps them get in their minds where things are. Okay. That's fine. I actually had you do the wrong thing, but that's not a problem. Not a problem. We're gonna do do you hear the pitter patter?
Okay. Do you hear the pitter patter? Raindrops falling down. Do you think they're bringing dew or flowers in the ground?
Okay. Now, excuse me. These, I tell them, they have little magnets on the back, which are awesome. I hope these boards are magnetic. Yes, they are. My one upstairs is. These are for each beat in the song. So as we were beating them out, it's for each beat, okay? And I tell them to think kind of like, it's like a heartbeat. A heartbeat can be slow, can be fast, but it's always steady. And that's the way the beat of the song is. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower, but it's always steady. It doesn't jump around. Unless you have heart problems. So we're only going to put up 8 of them today. Okay? So, okay. I'm going to sing you the first line of that song. And I want you to tell me how many beats there are. Okay? Can you do that? All right.
Do you hear the pitter-patter, raindrops falling down?
Anyone know?
8.
Good. All right, and I almost told you the answer because I went ahead and put 8 hearts up on the board. All right, so in our classes, we use, for often the quarter note is the major note that we use. And in my book for first grade, we call them tas. I explained to them later that they are actually quarter notes. And tas is two eighth notes put together, which also create one beat, because a lot of the songs are like, the quarter note gets the beat. 2-4 timing often for these songs. Okay, so we're gonna start with you, Rachel. So it's, do you hear the pitter patter raindrops falling down? Can you come do the first one?
Do you hear the pitter patter?
Parker kind of has issues, doesn't it?
Do you hear the pitter patter? Do you hear the pitter patter?
Okay. Now we're going to check it and see if you're right. Okay. And if it's wrong, it's okay. All right. So this is how you do it.
Do you hear the...
Is that right? Should be.
Do you hear the pitter-patter?
Is yours right? Maybe? Okay. So if any of you think that yours is wrong, you can come change it. Listen carefully.
Do you hear the pitter-patter?
And you have...
Do you hear the...
Yes? That thing kind of has issues, doesn't it? There we go. Thank you. It does have issues. Can I have that black marker back beside you? Thank you.
Let's see if this one's
a lot better. Okay, do you want to? Now it's.
Do you hear the pit? Do you hear the pitter-patter? Do you hear the pitter-pat?
All right.
Do you hear the pitter-patter?
Is that right? Good job. Okay, so now we have
raindrops falling down.
Can you do this one?
Raindrops falling down. Raindrops. Falling down.
Wow, you guys are like paused today.
Do you hear the pitter-patter raindrops?
Should be.
Raindrops falling down.
And no, they don't always all get them wrong. We'll blame it on nerves. You fix yours too. Okay. So we have
raindrops falling down.
What's this one? Can someone tell me what this one is? Yes? It is a ta. Okay. And then what about this one? Did we sing anything there? No? Okay. So since there is, we don't sing there, we need to put something there so that we know to be quiet, okay? And you guys know what this is. Can you tell us what it is? George.
That Z thingy?
That Z thingy? That's right. Do you remember what it's called? Leah?
Rest.
A rest. Good job. So we put a rest in. And then rest. Okay. All right. So, and often for first grade, I let them do it as a normal Z. Like, you know, you think of someone sleeping, I actually usually draw them a little man that's sleeping with Z's at the top, you know. So I usually let them actually use a Z for first grade, maybe second grade, because it is a backwards Z. And then sometimes I can hardly remember which one's the right one. Okay. All right, so this is for the first part of the song. Can we use it for the second part too? Let's see if we can use it for the second part. So let's sing it. Sing it with me.
Do you hear the pitter-patter raindrops falling down? Do you think they're bringing drink for flowers in the ground?
Can you use it? Good. Okay. So, since we can use it again, we're not going to put up
16 hearts like we usually do, okay? Instead, we can put something at the end. And this is called a repeat sign, okay? And when you see this thing, the two little eyeballs and then the line, that line means you stop, okay? For this part, if this means that you do it again, okay? You use the same things again. All right. Gilead, why don't you write four things? It can be Taws, Toddies, or Rests, but four of them, okay? And they can't all be the same thing, all right? Can you do that for us? And put a repeat sign at the end, all right? One more, whatever you want. Just pick one quickly. Mm-hmm. Yep, it can be one of those. You gonna do a top? At the end? Another toddy? Okay, thank you. Oh, repeat sign. Good job. Okay. Now all the rest of you have to help me. All right, we're gonna say it and clap it. Now do you remember what a rest is? Yeah. Say rest. Okay, ready? So we have, do it with me. Toddy, ta, rest, toddy. Okay, everyone needs to help. Okay, you ready? Let's start over. Okay, starting over. And remember, we have to repeat it. Toddy, ta, toddy, toddy, ta, rest, toddy. Good. Okay. Sorry, it's kind of squishy up here. We're just going to go ahead and use this. Do you hear the pitter-patter song? And we are going to so let's sing it again, and I want you to think about which notes are accented, okay? Do you remember what we do with accented notes? Okay, so let's do it. Do you hear the pitter-patter raindrops fall down? Can you hear which ones are? Rachel, you wanna come put the first one? Do you remember what they look like? They look like the sign of his carrot. One of these two, is it, do you hear the, or is it, do you hear the, which one? Do it underneath. Uh-huh. Do you hear the, or is it, do you hear the? This one's kind of a hard song to tell. There you go.
pitter patter.
Good.
Raindrops falling. Down.
You can't ever accent a rest, okay? Because it's quiet. We're doing these two. Thank you. All right, now we're going to put the measure bars in, okay? We learned about measure bars already, so we're going to put measure bars in. Now remember, the measure bars come right before the accent marks, okay? Except at the beginning of the song, you can't miss any at the beginning of the song. All right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Good job. Good. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good. Rachel, do you want to do the next one? Thank you. All right. Now, do you remember at the end of the song, even if we have a repeat sign, we still need to put the end mark. Do you remember what the end mark is, Leah? No? Geneva, do you remember?
Skinny Man and
Batman. Yeah, that's right. And they told me that the way you remember the end mark, since it's a skinny line and a fat line, one of my boys told me that the way you remember is the skinny man can't quite stop the song, so you have to stick the fat man at the end so it'll really stop it. And they don't forget. They're always like, skinny man and the fat man. So it works. All right, good job. Okay. Nia, why don't you come do this? How many hearts are in each measure? How many beats are in each measure? Put it right up here. Good job. Okay. So this is just a little sampling of some things that we do in music class. They learn to do the things on the board like that. Another thing that I use these are kind of like what I had Gilead write up on the board, except they don't have repeat signs behind them. But we say tas and toddies. There's also some cards that look like this that have S is so, L is la, M is for me. So let's actually, I want you guys to all just sit right in front of me so you can see the cards. Yep. Sit down on the floor. And we're just going to do a few of them so you can show them. Do the hand motions, remember? Okay. So, right here. Ready? So, so me. So, so me. Good. Okay. You should sing a little bit louder, okay? Can you do that? Okay, remember, this one's a hard one. We don't go down, it's the same as this one. So, you go straight across. Can you remember that? See if we can get it. For some reason, this one's a hard one for students because they're going so me, so so, and they think they should really go down to a me, even if they're saying so. All right, ready?
So me, so so so.
There you go. let's find one with. Here we go. Let's do this one. Ready?
So so.
Good. All right. So that's the flashcards that I often use, and it kind of just gets in their minds the so me law jumps. It's great for that. Which actually, these all came with the book too. So excuse me. Okay. And the other thing that I was gonna do. We don't really have room to do it because we're going to do it on the floor. So I'm actually, right now, I'm going to show them how to do some other things. So, or what I do with some other things. So if your moms are here, if you want to go, you may. If you want to sit here and listen, you may.
Okay? Whatever you want to do. Just don't get in anybody's way if you go outside. All right? Okay, the other thing that I was going to actually have them help me with, and I kind of am running out of time, and also there's not really room on the floor to do it, is that I use a lot of... which I actually just made out of construction paper. And they're great to use as notes. And I often have them do them on the floor. So like those little songs. Well, there's a really simple one that's called TikTok. It's TikTok, TikTok. And it's all it is so and me. And so it's very easy for them to, if you stick them in a straight line, to either push them up or down a little bit. You know, if it's a higher note, they push them up. If it's a lower note, they push them down. So it's very easy for them to do that. So I think I put kind of a list on your paper of things that I use. Once you're teaching them about, you know, the staff of the song and all that great stuff, I actually use yarn and do it on the floor because it's really big, and then they can, like, crawl around on the floor and they think it's cool. Not older ones, but younger ones do. Just don't wad them up like I do. I do have 5 of them. Sometimes I only use 3, depending what I'm doing. But and I just lay them out on the floor. And then I use these little round smiley things, which is the third thing that I have there. I use these for the notes. And I teach them when so is on a space, me is on the space below them, below it. So, you know, maybe we'll put these on the floor and we'll go ahead and do that. So they can put the so, or I put the so, and they have to put the me, or whatever. Or else someone can put the so and another student puts the me. You know, so is on a line, me is gonna be on the line below. And often when you think on the line, they think it's sitting right on top of the line. Make sure they know that the space is in between the lines. And when it says on the line, it means that it is like sitting on the line like a marshmallow on a stick or something, you know, like it's jabbed in there. It is right on top of the line. And then, so if so is on a space, and me is on a space, law is on the line above so. So then we go through that. I also use, I got these cool little dry erase boards. That's a Dollar Tree. And I use these a lot, especially with the older ones. Not first grade, but once they're past that, because they can draw things then. They can make their own staff. They can make their own measure bars. They can write, they can actually draw the notes. They're not just handed to them. So it gives them a little bit of like hands-on stuff, and they can erase it and do the next one. It is great. I also, once I teach them the shapes, Dollar Tree. I went and got just a bunch of little foam things and just went and cut a bunch of them into shapes. Some of them I think like, the sews they had and the laws they had as like little tag thingies, you know. And then some of them I made as whole notes. You can use for whole and half notes. And then I took straws, and this again I do on the floor with my strings. I went ahead and just cut straws. And the ones with the stretchy part. I use these for the ones that have flags. And then I cut some really tiny pieces that they can stick in once I teach them 16th notes. And then I just have some just little straight ones that they use for any of the ones with just a straight stem. So I use that a lot for once they know the notes and the kinds of notes. I also Well, and then these little hearts are pretty cool. Like I, you know, even if they have two of these little smiley faces on the floor and they have, you know, the straws with the flags, they're both eighth notes, or whatever, I often have them go ahead and put these beats underneath the notes. So they kind of get in their mind still that even though it's, maybe it's, you know, one note, maybe it's two notes, and they all share this beat, or else, you know, they have to realize that a half note takes more than one of these or whatever. So, let's see. Toothpicks is another thing that I use. What I had Gilia draw up here with the Taz and Toddies and Rests, I will sometimes have them actually create those on the floor for the other students to look at, or maybe I'll just clap a rhythm for them and they have to use the sticks and draw it. I already talked a little bit about the finger puppets on the dry erase boards. This whistle. I use this whistle also for, I will sometimes have them, instead of clapping the beat, I will have one of the students create a beat for us that we have to follow with a whistle or a stick banging on something. So they can decide how fast they want the beat of that song to be, and we have to do it as fast or as slow as they do it. They often go on the faster side and have to slow them down sometimes, but it's good for them to actually have to create the beat for everyone else. Kind of gets in their minds that, you know, and sometimes you have to stop and say, okay, you're not going consistently, you know, you're going slow and then you go fast, then you go slow. So you teach them that the beat is consistent. And this whistle is kind of cool because it goes like really low and really high, like, you know. So they can kind of pick if they want to be like a big train or a tiny little train, or, you know, they think that's cool. So it's just something fun for. So I already talked a little bit about the hand motions, like, you know, do is on your knees. Re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. I use those the most. There are actually hand motions, other hand motions that go with the notes as well. I don't use those as much, especially with the younger ones. Those actually, there's cards that come with this book that show you how those motions are. Like, do is down here. This is re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. So I don't use those as much. It seems like the ones like on their body actually kind of sticks in their minds a little bit more, I think. Easier for them to remember. I do use little things like bean bags and marbles and whatever sometimes too. Sometimes I play this little game with them or whatever that if I want them to sing a solo in a song, I'll say, okay, whoever this gets thrown to next has to sing the next line or whatever. And so that's more what I use this for. And the marbles, kind of same thing. We don't throw those around though. There is a song that I try to teach the older ones then, for 4/4 timing, that you sit in the floor, on the floor, not in the floor, on the floor in a circle. I tell them to put the marble on the floor on their left-hand side. They grab it, so it's one, and then it's knee, knee, floor to their neighbor. So while they sing the song, they have to do that motion, and it kind of, and I make them count actually for a while I sing the song. Otherwise, they get a little bit confused. But that's just something fun you can do to teach them, you know, the different timings. Let's see, was there something else? Oh, the money. Once I'm teaching them the lengths of notes, You know, so there's a whole note, half note, quarter note, eighth note. Those are the main ones that you use. I do teach them about 16th notes and stuff too, but I actually compare a whole note to a dollar. And then, so half of a dollar is what? And it's 50 cents. And I have some fake half dollars that I use. So if you think half dollar, half note, you know, how many half dollars go into $1? There's two, you know, that type of thing. Quarters for quarter notes. And then I'll use something smaller, like a dime or a penny or something for the eighth note. But kind of sticks in their minds a little bit if they have, like, you know, half dollar is like a half note. A quarter is kind of like a quarter note. And then it's pretty easy to say, okay, so how many eighth notes are in a quarter note when you have that all out? Because they're sitting there, like, they have all these little coins, and they're like, oh, yeah, they grabbed two of them, you know. So it's kind of fun. These are the cards that I actually use to teach them about the tas and the toddies. So, pig is the ta, of course. Each card equals a beat. Flowers. And I put a little dot in here so they know it's flowers. Two syllables. So it's a ta-di. It's 2/8 notes on one beat. So, and then for rests, I flip them over. There's nothing there, so it's you be quiet. So that's actually how I usually teach them, first of all, about the tas and the toddies and the rests. Tas, again, are quarter notes. Toddies are 2/8 notes put together. These were some signs that came with this book. I sometimes use them and I sometimes don't, but like if you want them to sing loud or soft or, you know, if you're going to do the beat of the song or the rhythm of the song, you know, there's high and low, fast and slow. This little stop and go sign is actually kind of good for them in their little minds. What we do with that is when it's go, they sing out loud. When it's on stop, they keep singing in their minds. And when I flip it to go again, they have to keep going out loud again. So it's making them think, like in their mind, they're still singing in their heads. So yeah, that's just a few things that I use in my music classes. There's, I'm sure, a lot more I could have told you or showed you, or maybe you guys have questions about some things that we do. Feel free to ask questions if you have any comments of how you. I was looking at the second grade CLE book, and that is a lot of like just learning the notes and learning the kinds of notes, like a whole note, quarter note, half note, and even those, you know, they're little tiny books, and you can very easily, you know, still make it fun with the shapes and the straws and the, you know, because they think it's kind of cool to use other things in their music classes. And yeah, a lot of these ideas, some of them I got, you know, at music camp. Some of them I kind of just, they kind of evolved after 5 or 6 years, you know. Something that I thought might help them. So do you have any questions? Yes.
Do you still teach them the shapes in the lower grades?
For first grade, no. I don't usually teach them the shapes until I switch them into CLE books, so.
So in my school we teach the shapes, so how would you relate that to teaching them how they go on the scale?
That's a very good question, because it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Do you use the CLE books, or
yeah,
do you use,
yeah,
okay.
We do.
I think personally what I would do is just maybe do some other exercises with them, with, say, some little round things, and tell them that they can be round, or shapes. Because that's kind of a hard thing. That's what I, you know, when I try to switch them into the shapes, it actually almost confuses them. They know better. The S means so, you know, and where it is, you know. But I think it's kind of important to actually for them to know a little bit of both. But even if you're mostly teaching them shapes, to go ahead and show them that they actually can all be round and you still can tell that it's a dough or whatever.
Yeah,
which
round, that's really tough for me because I never learned them.
I know. It was for me too. It still can be a struggle for me. Like sometimes I have to think a little bit like, okay, what is that one like? It does come a lot more naturally now after years of trying to figure them out, but it took a while. Does anyone else have a question?
Where do you get the finger puppets?
Where did I get those? I think two of them maybe came with the book. The other two I found like at some little like flea market or something. Mm-hmm. I know you can get them online. I actually think that we had some at the store there for a little bit. I don't know if we're still there or not. Yeah, you can pick them up different places. And they don't have to, like the cat and the fox I got somewhere else, and they're actually smaller. They're almost easier for first graders. But once they get a little bit older, it's actually harder for them to use because they're smaller inside. These are actually fairly large and floppy. But they all work, and it's fun to give them names, the children. I often have them name them, you know, like, okay, let's pick out a name. So, does anyone else have a question? Or comments, tips for me? I welcome that as well. I'm like, you know, no matter how much you teach one subject, you can always learn more, seems like.
What are some suggestions on helping a child who seems monotone?
That is a very good question, and I was going to actually bring that up, and I forgot. Thank you. First graders are often monotone. If they're monotone in first grade, even second grade, I actually don't worry about it. It's once they hit third grade that I start worrying about it. Because often if they sing together enough in first and second grade and you tell them to try to sing like the ones around them, they often will just pick it up. And I even notice a difference in the first graders. The Christmas program compared to the end of year program is often better because they're singing together more. In first grade, when I go in there, if there's six students, there's often that many parts. It's just the way it is with younger students. If they're older, and sometimes I honestly don't know what to do with them if they're monotone and they're still, you know, they're fourth or fifth grade and they're still monotone. Because it's really hard when you have a class to actually work with them one-on-one without embarrassing them. And so I often try to just, when we're singing, you know, okay, try to sound like me. You know, go a little bit higher. And that's about the extent that I go in my classes, just because I don't actually have time to focus one-on-one with them. Yeah, I don't know if that answers any questions or not. Yes?
Something that I learned in a workshop years ago when I took one was, I don't know, nobody probably even ever heard of Clarence Fretz, but I guess that he was a well-known teacher of Paradise, and he couldn't sing. He sang the monotone until he was 16.
Okay.
And he decided that he was going to learn to sing. Right, so he took a pitch pipe and went out in the cornfield and just kept trying to match the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that that only one in a thousand is tone deaf and can't learn to sing the sounds.
Okay.
And he would recommend to, you know, try to find out where they are in this. And one of the recommendations was have a tune that you know they know, like Jesus Loves Me or something, have them to tell you what the words are for that.
Yeah.
And also, if they can't, you know, if they're having trouble singing the pitch, tell them to hum a note, and then you match them. And just keep doing that until they get the feel of singing with somebody.
That's a good idea, to match their tone. Never heard of that one. That's a really good idea. Thank you. Because I often tell them to match me. Good. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. The first book I love for first and second grade, because like I said, I don't usually get the whole way through with first grade, so I finish it out in second grade. The second book was actually very difficult for me, because it was a whole different set of songs again that I didn't know. It was a whole different approach to teaching music again. And it actually kind of confused the students. Maybe it was because I was confused. I don't know. And so I just kind of, if I wanted to do more with that type of thing, I just kind of created my own. Like in the back of this book, it shows more like, putting notes on the staff, you know, the different places and stuff. And so I would just expand that. And just more, like I just more went that style because it was really hard to actually switch songs and stuff. This book, there's so many songs in the back, and a lot of them I know now by heart because I've done it for 5 or 6 years. But the first year, literally, I would sit down and I would sing it to my mom and say, okay, did I sing that right? Because I didn't know. I didn't know these songs. And so, you know, a different style of teaching music is kind of hard to get into. But if you're used to music and you're, I know one of my friends was teaching this music, and if she didn't know a song, sometimes I would just record a clip and send it to her. So I guess if you guys want to do that, you can holler. I know the song, so. is that the ending bell? Probably. All right. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll probably be around here a little bit more. So if you have any other questions or comments, feel free to come find me. So thank you very much.